This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
It's a hell yeah, brother, Friday. And I'll tell you right now, it's a hell nah, brother, to this particular trade package. There are The Athletic took a group of writers, Tony Jones, Sam Vecenie, Eric Nehm is the beat writer for the Milwaukee Bucks. He was the judge, jury, and executioner for all these different transactions. And David Aldridge, DA, all-time legend. Basically doing the primer for Milwaukee Bucks trade packages that could potentially be out there for Giannis Antetokounmpo. And they did a couple different teams. I'm also going to walk through kind of the myriad of transactions here. It starts with Giannis to San Antonio, which I think San Antonio can put together a very good package, but it's going to cost them basically everything not nailed down, named De'Aaron Fox and Wemby. That's where, at least where I sit. The trade they put together, it is a three-way deal, and you're going to see this pop up, I think, a lot in transactions, where one of New Orleans or Portland will be involved. They control the Milwaukee Bucks draft future. I've been saying
pick
this
swaps all around.
I have been saying this since it became a thing that was gathering momentum. Do not be surprised to see Portland or New Orleans or both participate in this transaction, because depending on what the Bucks get back, if they're going to reset and go young, they need their picks.
Yep.
So there's leverage for both New Orleans and Portland to get something done here. First package, it involves the Bucks, Pelicans, and Spurs. The Bucks would get, from combined from both teams, Zion, Keldon Johnson, a 2025 first-round pick from the Spurs, which is from the Hawks, a 2027 first-round pick swap rights with the Pelicans, 2029 first-round pick from the Spurs. That swap right is their own
coming
swap
back. Yeah.
The Pelicans would get Devin Vassell, Jeremy Sohan, Pat Connaughton, and the 2027 first-round pick that the Spurs got from the Hawks in the Murray deal.
Now, it should be noted that over the next, is it seven drafts? Mm-hmm. Spurs have 37 picks. Mm-hmm.
Now that's first and seconds, and
yeah, but they have
varying levels of picks.
They have a ton of draft capital over the next seven drafts.
And the Spurs would get Giannis in this deal. And Eric Nehm, again, judge, jury, and executioner. His reaction: this is nowhere near enough for Antetokounmpo. Williamson, while incredibly talented, is nothing more than a lottery ticket. In six seasons, he's played 214 of 472 games. We know that's at. Basically, Nehm is saying, no, not enough.
Because now, who are the names that they actually get?
The Bucks? Philly?
Yeah, yeah.
The guys they would actually get.
Milwaukee.
The two players they would get are Zion and Keldon Johnson.
Mm.
No.
Zion, really?
No. That's not
I know
enough.
That's all New Orleans has got, but come on.
That
and then they
enough.
Would get some of their draft capital and a little bit of draft capital. There's no premium asset in there.
That ain't it, dog.
Okay. This one was put together because, again, I don't think this is anywhere close to happening. But based on intel, Giannis wants to go to a big market. So Giannis to Philly is discussed. The Bucks would get Paul George, Jared McCain, a 2025 first, a 2028 first from the Clippers, a pick swap from the Clippers, and a 2030 first, and the Sixers would get Giannis. Nehm basically says, hell no, God no,
No.
No. It's a hard no. He says, this is insulting. The Bucks will be taking positive assets only in any trade conversation.
Yeah, you're not taking Paul George. Not doing it.
Here's one. I saw some Raptors fans like, oh, the Raptors should go after Giannis Antetokounmpo. But I'm like, so they can give up Scottie Barnes? Because you're not keeping him. Are you out of your mind?
That's the only asset that anybody would want.
Yeah, and so here's a trade package for Toronto. Giannis to Toronto, just two-team transaction. The Bucks would get Scottie Barnes, RJ Barrett, because you got to make the salary work, because Giannis makes a crap ton. Grady Dick, 2027 first, 2029 first, 2031 first, all top one protected. 2028 pick swap and a 2030 swap between the Milwaukee with the second choice of the Bucks, Blazers, and Raptors, because there is a pick swap bundle in 2030. And the Raptors would get Giannis and Kyle Kuzma. Nem said there will be no protections on any picks sent in any trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Nope.
Giannis is not on an expiring deal. It's multiple years left on his deal, and he's in his prime, and he just had another season where he averaged 30, 12, and 6.
And by the way, that 2031 pick, that would be part of this deal that Milwaukee would get. What year did the Blazers get the Bucks first-round pick?
Ding, 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 ding.
2031.
Here's the one that brings in the Portland Trailblazers. And this is not the transaction I would go down, but it is the manner of which Portland would peel something off in a trade that involved Giannis. To me, the two teams that I think Portland would want to be involved with are Houston and Orlando. Those are the two teams that I would look at as the player, as teams that have players the Blazers would like to acquire. The trade. The Bucks would get Amen Thompson, which I'm telling you right now, I just don't see the Rockets doing it, even for Giannis. They can have anyone else on that roster. I don't see them giving up Amen, but that they put him in here. Amen Thompson, Jalen Green, because they have to make the salary work. Cam Whitmore, Donovan Clingan, a 2025 first via Phoenix. Phoenix's 2027 first. The 2029 first of the most favorable of Milwaukee, Portland, and Washington. That is the one that Portland controls.
Yep, Portland has that.
And the Washington Wizards have the second most valuable pick in that draft. Portland owns right now the first and the third. That was part of the Denny Avdia trade. And then 2028 and 2030, Milwaukee swap rights extinguished, which the Blazers own. Okay? The Rockets would get Giannis and Jeremy Grant. So if you're paying attention now, that's Donovan Clingan, Jeremy Grant, and all of the Bucks capital back.
No. Okay.
The Blazers would get Alperen Şengün and Jacques Landale.
Şengün I like, but at the risk of all of those. Now, the one that is sneaky in this is that 2029 most favorable pick from Milwaukee, Portland, Washington, because Washington is in that.
Yes.
Washington is in that. And if you do this deal, Milwaukee won't be the one that has the most favorable pick.
Milwaukee would be.
No. I'm saying, or if you don't, like if you do this.
Oh, you do this trade, yeah.
I mean, you're basically sitting there and saying, Milwaukee, you're going to be good again.
Well, goodish.
Yeah. Washington, that's a great one to have, because do we have any faith that Washington is going to figure it out? Even though they started to at the end of this past year, that is a franchise that is poorly run right now. And getting Şengün, that's attractive, but at the same time,
you're spending most of your capital.
And you're losing Donovan Clingan. You're losing your center and you're shipping out Jeremy Grant. That's going to happen this year.
You're getting a center
anyway.
Back and you're getting a very getting good a center. And Şengün is a very good center. But when we talk about salary cap allocations, Şengün's on a pretty good deal. He's on a pretty good deal. I want to pull it up because I know his and Jalen Green's are a little bit different.
But no draft picks for the Blazers.
From the Dame trade, all of your Dame trade goes out the door for Alperen Şengün.
Yeah, you're literally giving up, I would say, two good players and all of your other assets and getting none back except a player. And I don't know how long his contract lasts, but then the Blazers are probably going to have to turn around and give him more money.
No, Şengün's locked up. They gave Jalen the 3-year deal with the option. It was kind of like a weird, like, hey, if you prove it, great. If not, we're going to rinse our hands of you. Şengün got the 5-year deal.
Okay.
But he didn't get the full crazy max. He got, it was 5 years, 5,185. So his average annual salary is about 37, 38. Like, right, I think it's 37 is the exact number. But he starts at 33, just short of 34 next year. His player option in 29-30 is 39, which, as a percentage of the cap, his deal goes from 22% next year of the total cap down to 17.2% percent of the cap in 2029-30. Here's the thing. I like Şengün, and he actually is a good defender. Like, even though you don't think of him as being a good defender because he's kind of heavy-footed, slow feet, quick brain. He's actually okay as a rim protector. But if the Blazers were to do this, like, that's it, man.
Yeah, you've spent your
like, you the other assets you have to work with are Shea, Scoot, Two, Denny, Ant.
Yep.
That's it. And keep in mind, you still have a $35 million expiring contract of DeAndre Ayton.
Bingo. And this is that's going to be the interesting part about Milwaukee and if Portland's involvement in it. Because they're going to want the pick swaps back, which, okay, but what are you going to be getting in return? DeAndre Ayton seems like the piece that may be going in this because you could send, instead of Jeremy Grant in this deal, DeAndre Ayton, and it's 1 year, right? Jeremy Grant has got, what, two or three left on his deal?
Yeah, three.
Three?
Yeah.
So the expiring big deal in DeAndre Ayton, probably more attractive for Milwaukee because they need to, they're not going to be winning next year. They're looking for the future, and you need fresh bodies. Brooke Lopez is old, and he is his contract is up right now. They need a big. You can get a serviceable big that is in there. You send DeAndre Ayton in that. That one would make more sense as part of this deal than sending Donovan Klingon and sending Jeremy Grant out.
Look, I know people feel a certain way about Jeremy. There are a handful of teams that still want Jeremy Grant. I know that to be true. Now, whether or not the Blazers want those packages or not, that's up for them to decide. But here's what Nem had to say about this. I still need some more in this package, but this is getting pretty close. Eric Nem is about as in tight with the Bucks as anybody is with a team in the league. Nem is thoroughly entrenched. He has a great relationship with the front office and with Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I say that to preface this. So Sam Vecenie is the one that came up with this trade, and he goes, Sam was right to get the Bucks back in control of their picks from the Blazers between 2028 and 30. I think that is one of the most valuable things the Bucks can acquire in any Antetokounmpo trade because getting rid of one of the best players on the planet while not controlling your picks is bad business. This is why I keep reiterating the value of the Blazers owning the Bucks' future. Whatever they do, they're gonna call Portland.
Portland's gotta be in it. You have to use that leverage though to not give up Donovan Klingon and the pick that you're getting from them anyway.
Picks.
Well,
because there's a swap. Because you don't control it. Because if you're gonna be bad, the Blazers are like, great. Well, look, the Houston Rockets, they have a lottery pick this year because of the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's what, top four protected? Or tops?
No, I think there's only top four because the Sixers was top six. But actually, no, I believe that one's unprotected. The Sixers was only top six. Yeah, because the Rockets can win the lottery and get Cooper Flagg.
I mean, Danny, you're way more in tune with the NBA circles than I am, so maybe you can help me understand why. It just seems like this is almost the same message that Portland got during the Dame trade, was that we don't want to give you assets for anything. And essentially, Portland is going to be left with nothing doing this. Why do people in the national media keep thinking they'd even consider something like this?
I don't think the Blazers would go down this lane.
Boy, it is unprotected.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying with the Suns having trouble filling that general manager spot. Yeah, nobody wants that Suns future because they don't control any of it.
Boy.
Remember, they traded that one first of their own to the Jazz and got three meh firsts back. And the Jazz are sitting there going, good.
What a time to be alive.
But I say all of this. Nem goes further. It says, any trade offer from the Rockets will require Thompson. The packages I've received, there's an argument to be made that Thompson is the best asset because of his insane defensibility, super athleticism, age, and contract. but I'd be curious to see if I could also acquire Tari Eason or Jabari Smith Jr. Green is the deal in this problem in this deal. He's only 23, and there may be some upside there, but his contract extension kicks in next season, and it's unclear if he's going to be worth the raise. Those two names he mentioned before that, though, Jabari Smith Jr., Tari Eason. If I'm the Blazers, if I'm not able to peel off Amen, or I can't get Şengün for less than this,
yep,
that's what I'm looking to peel off. What have the Blazers built themselves around? Big, multi-dimensional, long, rangy, athletic wings.
Yeah.
That's what, if I'm the Blazers, that's what I'm looking to peel off.
Oh, boy.
Look, I'll go a step further. If the Milwaukee Bucks, because Orlando's a team that I've heard has kicked around the idea of Giannis.
Yeah.
If I'm the Blazers and Franz Wagner is a part of that package, now the Bucks are going to want premium if they're the ones not getting Franz in this. If I'm the Blazers, if Franz is on the table, I'm going, Blazers, we have your draft future. Bucks, we'll give you that, and we'll give you Shaedon Sharpe. And we'll give you more on top of that. Like, if you're telling me it costs you Shaedon, because you got to put DA or Grant in there for the salary, so pick your poison there, all of their capital, their draft capital, plus an additional pick in the future for Franz, I'd do it. And your lineup going forward is some version of two Franz Denny. That's your core. You're in a similar spot that the Magic are in without shooting, but you've got Ant in the meantime, and you just try to make something work there. That's the route I'd go.
You do put yourself in a pickle, though, because in this, are you saying you hold on to Klingon?
Yes.
Okay. So Klingon.
If that's the deciding aspect of it, if you're talking about getting a guy like Franz, who's 25, 5, and 5,
yeah,
who's a pick and roll savant, a primary creator, the shooting is a problem.
That's a big problem in the NBA.
It is.
Got to have shooters.
But if you're telling me my starting lineup has three of Tumani Kamara, Franz Wagner, and Denny Avdija, 6'8", 6'9", 6'9". In the problems that those guys present,
you're long rangey and athletic,
and you're young and you're controlled. There are worse problems to have.
Yeah. Still need that bona fide star. Franz goes a long way to helping, mm-hmm, you get more stable. And as we were talking about yesterday, raising the floor, but you still got your question marks that are, mm-hmm, looming.
And the Bucks in this scenario would end up with Shaedon and either Jeremy or DA.
Yeah.
All of that draft capital. If you want to put Donovan in there, okay. And then probably Anthony Black and more draft capital from the Magic.
Yeah, but I also think that is not using your leverage that you have to the furthest extent.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, because you just said all of that draft capital is going out.
I think if
you're saying all of the everything is going out.
I'm talking about not every pick they have. I'm talking about all of the Bucks capital.
So that includes all of the swaps and the first round pick.
I would for a player of Franz's ability, I would do that. I would give the Bucks their capital back.
Yeah, I'd give them the swaps.
Mm-hmm.
I'd try to squeeze ounce that you can.
I would too.
They're going to have to buckle at some point.
But that's when I talk about the Blazers and the potential they have to peel something off, there's lesser levels and there's bigger levels. It's all about a sliding scale of kind of what comes out of that. Coming up next, though, the NBA, it keeps going. We had some absolutely phenomenal games last night, and I want to dive into that Nuggets-Clippers game a little bit more, just because we talked about the James Harden of it all, but there was so much that came out of that game and sets up a Game 7 that I just want to dive into. We'll get that next here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
James Harden didn't turn into Jim Harden. That was one of the storylines coming out of Clippers Nuggets. And Ivica Zubac did about as well as anyone can do on Nikola Jokic. But the role players showing up for the Clippers has been this kind of mixed bag. And we talk about the guys that do and don't show up and that can make the difference. We talked about the weakest link versus strongest link. And I think
Every time you say that, I think of the show. You all are the weakest link. Yep. Goodbye.
Goodbye. But I think this series might be the single best series in the NBA demonstrating this. Who is the weakest link for the Clippers?
Well, we had this conversation yesterday where it was like we went through that roster, and a guy that we mentioned was Nick Batum, right? Mm-hmm. In his aging wily vet. You want to talk about a hell of a game?
Nick Batum was messing around with a 5x5 and he played more minutes.
That was the most like old man at the Y game I've ever mm-hmm. seen in my life, mm-hmm. where it was coming up, making a block shot, very fundamentally sound, where he pinned it off the glass, where he pinned Murray off the glass.
Yeah, he came out of nowhere for that, too.
But it was like so silky smooth, mm-hmm. the way he just eyed him up, lined him up, and just went whoop. And used his big old long arms to pin it on the glass.
Yeah, Nick's still 6'9" with a 7'3" wingspan.
Hauling in rebounds and just like being a facilitator to everybody on the floor. It was, didn't shoot a lot, didn't score a lot, but didn't need to.
For those wondering, Nick Batum last night in 34 minutes was plus 11, 6 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, 2 of 5 from three.
That is just vintage Nick. That's why he was in Portland for so long. Love it.
I loved Nick Batum so much.
I mean, you look at that. Their bench, Nick Batum plus 11, Derek Jones Jr. plus 2, Bogdan Bogdanovic plus 8. And they all made plays that were huge at different points in time, whether it was Derek Jones Jr. with a defensive stop, Bogdan Bogdanovic scoring before the end of the first half, Nick throughout the entirety of the game. Well,
and Ty Lue's coaching the hell out of that team mm-hmm. because, you see, didn't play Ben Simmons, didn't need to play Ben Simmons. He uses the vets that he has on that bench sparingly.
Very situationally.
But wisely.
Yes.
And that's where you look at and you say, I don't know where that weak link is. Chris Dunn?
And again,
in the starting lineup?
Chris Dunn, last night, but the game before, played heavy minutes, was 6 of 9 from three, if I remember right. No, he was 6 of 7 from the field. I think it was 3 of 3 from three. And played something like 34 minutes. Played 10 minutes last night.
Yeah, I think you mean Blazer legend, by the way.
Look,
Chris Dunn.
Ty Lue, if you ain't got it, he's going to try to cook something up. Mm-hmm. Like, because Nick played, I think, want to say 14 or 18 minutes the game before, played 34 this game. If you've got it, he's going to roll with you.
And that's where you look at Denver and Michael Porter Jr. with the shoulder injury, the short bench that they have and the ability to adjust, it goes away and it disappears when you have no counterpunch. And with Porter's shoulder dinged up, and then his volatility to begin with,
yes.
And then you have him injured, and only really one guy you can lean on coming off the bench in Westbrook.
And then that's Godspeed. I don't know how heavy you want to lean on that stick.
Yeah, and then we went through their bench, and the rest of the guys who are getting the DNPs,
mm-hmm. where do you go?
There's nobody you're going to put on the floor.
No. And in that same vein, you have an elimination game on the docket coming up tonight between the Warriors and Rockets. We'll dive into that next. But first, here's Jordan Schultz with the Sports Center Update. The Rockets and Warriors are going to do battle yet again tonight in Game 6, an elimination game for those Houston Rockets.
I am looking forward to this game. I think that Steve Kerr smartly said, we've got the older roster. We've got the guys that are dinged up a little bit more.
Back it up.
We are going to pull the ripcord and try to close this thing out on our home floor. Everything that we know about Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, the Golden State Warriors, is that that game was not out of reach when he packed it up with down 13 with, what, 6 minutes and change to go?
Yeah.
We've seen that come back a time or two, but it was, all right, with everything we got going on, is it in our best interest?
It's not worth it to send it here because we can go back home.
And going back home, putting a young team in a hostile environment, that's exactly where the Warriors can thrive. Mm-hmm. Ballsy choice.
Could backfire.
And if it does, I'm here for it.
Buddy.
I'm here for it. And we got a game seven. Mm-hmm. But something tells me we're going to get the best version of Steph.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he's doing it with that thumb as mangled as it is. But
and with Amen Thompson on him.
He's been playing with that thumb for
about a month now. Month, 6 weeks.
He's been shooting the damn lights out. He's incredible.
It's just hard work and perseverance. Definitely not Toradol.
No. Sue the Blazers, though.
No.
Sue the Blazers.
I'm really looking forward to this game because I want to see just how much Ime Udoka is going to lean into the double big lineup because it is just beating the ever-living crap out of the Warriors. There's just no other way you can slice it. Like, the whole, like, oh, they're going to go hack a Steven Adams. Make them prove it.
And, well, then you get in foul trouble and you don't have the depth. But you also go home with Steve Kerr thinking, we're going to get some more favorable calls because the entire arena is going to be on our side. Mm-hmm. We can work the officials a little bit better. That's part of playoff basketball.
Oh, look, every coach is already like, the Boston Celtics, every one of them whined and complained and moaned and groaned about how physical the Orlando Magic are, blah, 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 blah. And like, yeah, they got beat up. But like, that's playoff basketball. Like, that's what this Houston team is doing. That's what this Detroit team is doing. That's what this Orlando team is doing. That's what the Portland Trailblazers are building to. Like, getting bigger, longer, stronger, just being physical as hell with teams. Because the league is, rightly, allowing it to happen again.
Yep.
And there's been, like, a few people like, oh, I like the freedom of movement in the game. Like, I don't. I like teams that can play defense. I like teams that can be physical with you. I like teams that can make you uncomfortable.
And you know what is funny is that people complain, it looks like soccer out there. The most physical brand of basketball is European basketball.
Oh, dude, yeah. You go watch like Mega Basket or any of the Serbian teams.
They brother beat each other up.
It is a war over there. It is like, don't get me wrong, like in some of the EuroLeague competitions, like with Real Madrid, like they play a freedom of movement style.
Yeah.
But they run up against teams that are like, particularly from the high-end Mediterranean leagues that will just beat the crap out of them.
It's fun.
It's honestly, it's great basketball. Mm-hmm. And that's, I want to see, how does Jimmy Butler look? Because his butt bothered him.
Yeah, butt's butt.
You look at Steph and that thumb. Can Draymond, like, look, Draymond's leash right now after last game, if you don't think that they're watching, you're crazy. How much room is he going to be able to have at home with the crowd behind him?
Yep.
How much is Houston willing to push it with Dylan Brooks and Tari Eason? Because those guys ride their habitual line crossers as well.
Draymond Green could cost his team tonight.
Could also be the guy that gets it done.
Yep, because the technical foul game, game four,
mm-hmm.
Where he should have been run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
hit him with the flagrant instead, said it was live ball. It's like, I don't know, man, that whistle was dead, and he definitely kicked him on the back of the head and then grabbed his jersey.
He was detriment Draymond that game.
Until he walled off against Şengün and just stood him up and made the biggest stop while Jimmy Butler sorted for the rebound.
But if he gets in foul trouble or he gets run,
mm-hmm.
night, you got game seven.
I'm going to pick the Rockets tonight.
You think the Rockets are going to pull it off?
I think the Rockets are going to force seven. I thought we were going to get both the Pistons and the Clippers to pull it off last night. And the Pistons, boy, did they have their chance.
They blew it.
They had a 4-point lead with, what, a minute 15 to go? And I was like, when Cade missed that layup, I was like, oh, no.
Young teams, though, you go through those moments. And again, Cade Cunningham is a young star mm-hmm. in the making in the NBA.
Got to get your scars.
You do. You got to toughen up before you get to that point.
Everything is telling me to pick the Warriors here because of exactly that. But look, it starts with Ime and it emanates to that whole team. There is a toughness and a SOB factor that is higher, I think, than any other team in the league.
I've always thought this as I watch Houston and watch the development that Ime Udoka has had over the last couple of years. How much better would the Celtics be if he was their coach?
That's a really good question because, I mean, they were on that path. Like, Joe Mazz is a psychopath of a different type, but I think his ability, I think that over the long haul, Mazzulla's better for the ethos of the team.
He's better for guys like Tatum because I think the one thing that I go, boy, everybody else could really thrive under Ime Udoka. You could have had a moment where Jason Tatum goes, I'm not about this.
Look, Spo and Ime are very much aligned in how they operate. And Spo was initially empowered early in the year one when LeBron James got there, where Pat Riley told LeBron James where he could stuff it because LeBron wanted Spoelstra gone. And ever since that, Spoelstra has been empowered to do that. And Ime was basically empowered day one by the Houston Rockets. Now, they don't have anybody with star caliber to do that. Mm. But I'll tell you right now, when you talk about coaches and how they're respected in the NBA, Ime might be number one among players, legitimately. And it would be a reason why Giannis Antetokounmpo would go there in the offseason.
That would be an interesting development because hard ass expects a lot, demands a lot. But for whatever reason, guys buy in, and I think a lot of it is former player.
There's even though he like it's the same but different with Chauncey. Like talking to players around the league after games and stuff like that, like Chauncey getting booed, like the number of players that I've talked to over the last 2 years, like does that happen? Like they're booing CB. Like those guys are just viewed differently, not just because of like because Ime and CB's player records couldn't be further apart, but the way that they're revered and talked about and respected, very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar. So.
Well, and Kerr gets that too from being a former player.
Yep.
Like that's why you got that immediate buy-in coming off of being a broadcaster for a few years. Then boom,
with no coaching experience.
Yeah.
So super helpful. All right. Coming up next, we wrap up today's show. I don't know how. I mean, I know how because they're so just so dumb. More coaches have been caught up in a gambling scandal.
Oh, boy.
Yikes. We'll get to that next year's wrap of today's show on Danny Dusty, Tenny the Fan. If you were to throw a dart down on a U.S. map for coaches, players, staffers getting caught gambling, it would cover like a 5-state range. And it would go start at the Great Lakes and go down to the Gulf of America. Yeah, I said Gulf of America. That's what Google says, folks. Just going with it.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, brother. But 5 staffers at Iowa State, after submitting more than 6,200 online bets totaling $100,000.
$100,000 is a lot.
It is, but not when you're talking 6,200 bets.
16 bucks a bet. 16 and change.
Not a lot.
So it wasn't big wagers, but there were a lot of them. And obviously, they were pretty successful to keep doing that because they were support staffers for Iowa State football, which means that they aren't the high end getting a lot of money.
No.
So they're probably like in the recruiting department or like I'm looking at
compliance
it. One of them is the son of their defensive coordinator, John Heacock, who is a GA. Mm-hmm. He was hired as the director of football analytics. Okay. I
think one's the equipment manager at Valparaiso now, something like that.
Yeah. One, they got an equipment guy, 2 equipment guys, recruiting guy, another equipment guy, not high paying.
It's the guys who you think they would get caught with this.
Yeah. But, and so what you're thinking is they were actually probably pretty successful because those guys, $100,000 to those 5 guys, that's a lot of cash.
Just turning over some money. They were betting on professional and college games, including men's and women's basketball games and for the Cyclones.
Oh, see, that's where they probably made their money back.
Oops.
Yeah. This is, look, there's going to be guys, and this, remember, there was a big, like, operation in the state of Iowa to uncover because they thought student athletes were doing it at the University of Iowa. and Iowa State. So when they were probing the students, they end up finding, wait a minute, we got some staffers as well.
There's more. And that's the thing. Is like, again, this stuff is all geofenced and tracked and very easily to track back. It's like, just don't do it. So all of these guys have been hit with a show cause.
Okay, 1 year show cause.
They are not being hit with criminal charges, so they're getting off on the light end. They are not getting Jonte Porter'd. They will be allowed to work as long as if wherever they are hired, if they're retained or if they go somewhere else, like if you talk about the guy at Valpo, he can continue to work, but the schools will have to pay for them to go attend a 2-week seminar and then serve a 2-week suspension.
Dang, man. Well, there's going to be more crackdowns and they're going to send messages through guys like these. And I totally get it. If you didn't think that these things were happening before, you're crazy. But now that legalized sports gambling's here, they're actually going to start saying, hey, guys, slap on the wrist. You can't do these things. What sucks, though, is that for Iowa State football, did you guys know that last year was their first 10-win season in school history?
I did not.
Really?
Go Cyclones.
They won 11 games last year, and it was the first time in program history they've won 10 games.
They had the, what's his name, the quarterback.
Brock Purdy. Seneca Wallace?
The Seneca, yeah.
Yeah.
Did they only win 9 with Seneca?
They did not even win 9 with Seneca Wallace. They did in 2000. They went 9-3 in the year 2000.
For some reason, I thought that was like a 10 or 11 win team. Okay.
No, they only have 3 9 win seasons in program history. 1906, 2000, and then 2020, where they beat Oregon in the Fiesta Bowl for their 9th win of the year.
Holy crap. Really?
Yeah.
Things on the up and up there out in Iowa. They got those corn-fed boys. Good
when
Lord.
You look at their 8 win seasons, they only have 6 8-win seasons.
So, my God, they're a 5-6-win team monster.
7 8-win seasons, and 5 of them were 1978 or earlier. 1903, 71, 76, 77, 78.
I just don't think of them as being in the dregs like that for some reason.
Oh, yeah, they've been awful. They've been awful.
God, that's weird.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why is that team not associated with being so middling?
Because they were forgettable in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were just like,
they were never the worst thing you'd ever seen, but they were never good either.
Oh, I'm looking at, okay, hold on. They've had a football program for 127 years and we'll go 3 win seasons. Okay. And I'm just looking here. They have from 82 all the way down to 27. They've had 3 wins or less in a season. So what is that? 45 years?
How
45 of their 127 have been 3 or less.
Where have they been in like basically the last 25 years? Have they had many of those in the last 25 years?
Yeah, they had in the last 25. Yes. But
have they been mostly middle of the pack?
You look at 2014, 2008, 2003, they had 2 win seasons.
That's yikes, not good. Really?
Yeah.
I just feel like I've seen them in so many, like, just dumb bowl games.
And then 2007, 13.
Sure, we're not thinking of, like, Iowa?
No. That's for sure. But, like, I just, for whatever reason, I mean, I just kind of associate them with being, like, early December bowl games.
2007, 13, 15, 16, they had 3 wins.
Wow, that's so weird. I don't know why I don't think of them that way.
So they've had a lot of, I mean, they haven't been to a lot of bowl games, period.
But for some reason, in my head,
127 years of football, 19 bowl games.
I don't feel so bad being a Seattle Mariners fan right now.
Wow.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I don't know why. In my head, I just don't associate them with being a dumpster fire.
They are 6-13
in
those
bowl
games.
You probably just don't think about them enough, Danny.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just don't associate them with just being like this tire fire.
127 years of football, 2 conference championships.
Maybe it's just the longevity.
2 conference championships.
Hey, that's not bad. One every 75 years.
Wasn't Iowa State's basketball coach like a pretty big NBA player for a while, or am I thinking of the wrong school entirely?
No, Iowa State has basically been a proving ground for coaches for the Chicago Bulls.
Maybe that's what we're thinking
of. Yeah, well, I mean,
basketball,
they've been fine. I mean, even more recently, Tyrese Halliburton.
You know who their first ever head coach was? Pop Warner.
Oh, there you go. I mean, it must just be the longevity. They've been around for so long.
And Pop Warner went 3-4.
Mr. Football?
Yeah, dude. Every little kid plays 3-4 football right there. They play Pop Warner football.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Fred Hoiberg was who I was mentioning.
Yeah.
But didn't he have a run there pretty successfully before he moved on?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just, that's why they're in just the sports lexicon. It's the basketball. It's not the football.
They've had some great football coaches there. Johnny Majors was there for a while. Gene Chizik coached there. Dan McCarney was there forever. Paul Rhodes, and then now Matt Campbell. Matt Campbell's done a really good job.
Yeah.
They have only had two turds in his tenure there. Went 3-9 his first year, and then had a 4-8 season in 2022. Other than that, he's gone to a bowl every single year. He has half of the school's bowl wins all time.
Maybe that's why. It's just the recency bias.
Yeah. And he has been to 7 of the 19 bowl games in program history.
Not bad.
Good for him. Turn that one around.
God, they suck.
Yeah, they do.
That's really bad. All right, that does it for us this week. That's talking Iowa State football.
There you go.
Huh? And I think maybe you think they're better because they do have NFL talent.
That's the thing, is they do turn out pretty regular NFL talent.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got game 7. At least one game 7 this weekend.
Yep, and locked into game 6 tonight.
We got game 7 in the Stanley Cup playoffs, too.
We got the Kentucky Derby and...
got the Derby. Oh,
happy birthday.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I almost cussed. Yeah.
I got the dump button.
I forgot my birthday is tomorrow. Sunday.
Happy birthday, brother.
What day is it?
Yeah.
Sunday. All right. Cool. All right. Well, hey, have a great weekend, everybody. We will see you Monday from noon to 3 right here on The Fan. Up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. Prime time with Patrick and Isaac right here on The Fan.
Bye.